At the African funerals, how these funerals are done and what happens. And I know that from our last discussions, a lot of questions have popped up as I have been made aware by some listeners. And so I just thought that before we go to look at the role of health in these funerals, or what we were calling health expenditure, the things that really we have to pay when we talk about funerals. We've been talking about the issue of time, and we will be talking about the issue of health and the issue of resources, and then opportunities that we actually expend and not benefit from. But before we continue on, I just thought that it would be very good that we just come back a bit on this issue of time that we discussed last time, and just make a number of clarifications once again of what we have been talking about. I think one of the issues that has been raised is there's been a suggestion from some of our listeners that perhaps on this program, African Funerals, we have been suggesting that we shouldn't be mourning, or we shouldn't be holding funerals when we have our loved ones die. And there's also been a suggestion that maybe it's a subject that we are addressing without even a sense of belonging, or if you like one listener said, even wondering whether the presenter of the program has ever really known what a funeral is all about, or whether they've been bereaved before as to really talk the way they are talking. Those are some of the suggestions that have been coming from you, our dear listeners, and so I just thought that it would be probably appropriate for us to bounce back to this issue of time, which I spoke about, and really be very clear. I'll do that in this English program broadcast, and then I'll do the same in our Bemba broadcast on Friday at 19 hours. So I'll be inviting you, our listeners who would be maybe more comfortable to listen to the Bemba program, and even maybe participate by way of phoning in, because the Bemba program on Friday at 19 hours is a phone-in program after 45 minutes of teaching. So maybe that's what you would opt for. So just be aware that I will be back in Bemba with this same broadcast. So let me just make a comment before I really get into really clarifying what we have been talking about. And the comment I want to make is that the issue of African funerals is not an easy one to tamper with. In fact, I did know very well. At some point, I have even thought, oh, why did I pick up this and raise so much dust in the eyes of so many people? I did know what I was beginning to do when I began talking about the issue of tradition as it relates to our funerals here in Africa. But if I may just urge you, our dear listeners, that you listen very carefully and attentively, that you allow your mind to process this information without a biased approach to what you're listening to, or without a preconceived mind, so to speak. Because tradition can be such a big thing. Something that you have done over and over again, I mean, it's part of you, don't forget that. And so when we come and say, should we revisit this, or can we think about this, I think it's wise for all of us, myself included, to just pause and say, okay, what is it that he is talking about? Process this information in light of God's word, not because of what we have done, or not because of who we are, but because of what the Bible says. Can we process what we hear in light of the Word of God? Because the Word of God ought to be our final authority. In Matthew, Jesus warns the Pharisees and says, you are basically setting aside the Word of God because of the traditions of your fathers. And so it becomes important that we don't just dismiss this. So I'm fully aware that this to most of us, this is really like raising dust in your eyes. I do understand. But what I'm asking you is, instead of just reacting and even maybe thinking maybe I've never known a funeral, that's why I can talk like this, instead of going that direction, just pause and think through what I am saying and see if it will make sense. And if you have a biblical argument why it shouldn't make sense, then talk to us. And we have numbers that we give you. We would like to hear what you have to say. So back to this issue of time. The importance of time as far as the Bible is concerned cannot be overstated. I mean, the scripture has a very strict view of the importance of time. Time is so important. God has a lot to say about the importance of time. And God has a lot to say about the concept of stewardship. The very fact that even time is given to you and I as stewards. We are stewards of time. And so the way we dispend it, the way we use it, becomes very important as far as God is concerned. Just listen to these maybe five or six scriptures that have something to say about time. And then we will go into the explanations. Well, first in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him." That is Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5 to 6. There is time and a way for everything. In John chapter 9 verse 4, the Bible says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Again, friends, you read a verse like that one, you cannot fail to see the importance of time in the eyes of God, such that he would say, let's do the works of him who sent him, referring to Jesus Christ, while it is day. For night is coming when no one can work. So there is such a thing as the right time for something. There is such a thing as the time when we are supposed to work, the time when we are supposed to rest. That's what the Bible is saying. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." Making the best use of the time. Again, very important there, the issue of time. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time." Again, very important, reminding us of the importance of time as far as God is concerned. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Again, the Ecclesiastes says, there's time for everything under the sun. First Corinthians chapter 7, 29 and 30, the last verse here. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods. Again, the Apostle Paul there reminding us of the importance of time. So these are some of the scriptures, friends out there, that we must consider, because they actually disclose something about God, that there is a strict view of time as far as God is concerned. Now, without a doubt, we need to understand that there is a lot of time that is spent at funerals. And the purpose of this broadcast is to cause us once again to just think about our funerals in light of time. When we think about our funerals, for example, are we aware or are we mindful of our stewardship of time? Are we mindful of really how we are dispensing our time in light of eternity and in light of the admonition that God gives us from His Word? Because when you think of the amount of time that is spent on funerals, one of the things that is very clear is that you will find in most cases that our funerals will take so long. It doesn't matter when a funeral happens. If the death happens on Friday, it will go into the weekend and sometimes spill over into the working days. And a lot of implications there for a funeral like that. You have people staying away from their jobs because they have this situation to attend to. And you have just so much time that is spent. But as we look at this concept of time, the question really to answer, which must be kind of our guide, is why do we go to funerals? It's an important question that we must not run away from. And friends, when I say something like that, I'm not in any way suggesting that we now become Westerners or stop being Africans. That's not what I've been trying to say. What I've been trying to say, though, is, I mean, can we think about some of the things that we do regarding our funerals? Are they profitable? Are we helping ourselves? Are we going forward? Are we progressing, or are we retrogressing as a result of some of these practices? Why do you go to the funeral? Whenever there's a funeral, my question, and which should be your question to answer, is why do we go to those funerals? Well, I believe your answer is as obvious as mine, that the reason we go to funerals is so that we must show solidarity and support and comfort to the bereaved, that we might comfort them. That's the purpose of the funeral. And the reason I would speak like that is because there is scripture to that effect. For example, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, if you have your Bible, you can just stand there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, if you are there, the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Now, notice that it says, weep with those who weep. The same way it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And the idea is straightforward. When you have a friend or a relative who has been stricken with some sadness because they've lost a loved one, or something has happened in their life. Be part of that. That's the admonition there. Be part of that. Come alongside them and be a comfort, be an encouragement. To borrow the phrase that is out there, wear their shoes. Step into their shoes and comfort them. So that's why we go to funerals, friends. And I want to emphasize this, because if you miss this, like I have noticed in the past, probably we have missed this, you will run to wrong conclusions regarding what we are trying to say. We go for funerals, we go to funeral houses primarily to show our solidarity to the bereaved, to encourage them in their grief, to comfort them. That's why we go to the funerals. And so, here is a statement. Where an opportunity to do that is unavailable, the whole purpose then is lost. Did you get what I said? Where I do not have an opportunity to comfort, to encourage, to be with the bereaved, and be a comfort to them, where I do not have that opportunity, there is no sense, I repeat, no sense in going to such a funeral. By the way, because many people have not heeded that advice and have gone anyway, that's why we have all kinds of stories at funerals instead of mourning. That's why we have people talking about fishing and politics and name it. And the last thing they want to talk about is to comfort the bereaved. So we don't go for funerals to register our names. Now, I'm not saying there are no people who do that. That's not, okay, let me say this. We shouldn't go to funerals to register our names, our presence. We shouldn't go to funerals for reasons like, well, just in case I'm also bereaved, I will need people to mourn with me. That is a wrong reason. You shouldn't, I remember my grandmother, she's the late now. I heard this from her mouth. I mean, she spoke it in my hearing at the village one time. My grandmother told me she was with the UCZ Church, United Church in Zambia, and she was what is called Vanakebi, if you are familiar with that term. And when I inquired specifically about her church, asked about her testimony of salvation, one thing she told me as the reason why she goes to church was because she wanted when she dies to have people who can take care of her funeral. I'm not adding or subtracting, she said those words. Now, how many out there have the same kind of thinking when we talk about funerals, when we talk about church going? Many, many people. Going to the funeral for the purpose of, so that in case I have this, is a very wrong reason. The biblical reason is to be able to comfort, to encourage a person who is bereaved. And that's why I said, where that opportunity is not there. Friends, as hard, as difficult as it is to hear what I'm about to say, it is the truth. There would be no point in going to that funeral. Many funerals today are places of gossip. Many funerals today are as it were, redemption for many people who have no food. Many funerals today are places where people find lodging. And believe me, you have a person who has no house. And they, because death happens every day, they move from one funeral to another. Oh, those are wrong reasons for being at the funeral. You have to be at the funeral for the purpose of comforting. By the way, our dear listeners, this is why I said this. It's important that you really understand what we have been trying to say. When you get to the funeral, in my judgment, it doesn't make sense for you to end up outside. You never get to see the widow if somebody has lost their husband. You never get to see the person who has lost their husband. You never get to greet them. You never get to talk to them. And you say, I went to the funeral. What is the meaning of that? Most of the funerals I've been to, in fact, right now I remember the last funeral I was to some months back. I mean, it's terrible. Talked about everything else. But most of us who were outside never even got to see the person who we had followed to comfort and encourage. Why are we where we are? Well, tradition. This is what we have done. This is how it has been. You know, during the migration from our villages to the urban areas, these are some traditions that we carried with us and we are running with. And no one is asking questions anymore. And we just continue like that. And anyone who comes up and says, have you thought about how you are being a good or bad steward in light of these funerals, that person becomes a bad person. In fact, they are labeled an African and people without feeling for those who lose their loved ones. Now, it is tradition also that whenever a funeral happens, we are going to spend nights at the funeral. In some cases, many nights at the funeral. Now, friends, the truth is that a number of people have got problems with this kind of arrangement. A number of people. And because there is no courage to begin to address some of these practices that we do, what we have ended up with are hypocritical tendencies. We have ended up with situations where people go to funerals and they are only there for as long as this person they are fearing is there. And once that person, maybe the owner of the funeral, somebody slips or dozes off and they disappear. Or if they've come from very far, they dash off and go in their car to sleep in the car. Because they know it's not comfortable to lie down by the fire. There are many people who are very uncomfortable with this. There are many people who, as a result of health issues, have genuine reasons why they can't sleep at funerals, why they can't sleep outside in the cold because of health issues. Genuine reasons. But people, out of fear of what will they say, or what will they think, they force themselves and end up at the funeral anyway at the expense of their health. And we'll be looking at that in our next broadcast. Well, in my view, I'd like to say that people cannot endure the discomfort of sleeping on couches or even floors, as is the current practice that we have. I think what we need is openness, honesty. Is what we need to begin to address some of these our traditions. Because believe me, and I will say more about this, if the purpose of a funeral is to comfort, is to encourage, is to show solidarity to the bereaved, there are many times we do injustice to the bereaved. We expose them to all kinds of conditions and circumstances that are not healthy for them, that are not good for them, that are not helping in the long run. And we are not even doing an evaluation to see if what we have been doing really works or not. You know, in fact, when you bring up issues like this, you know, some of the concerns or reasons that you hear given, actually what matters is that from a cultural perspective, what matters is just that they see me. I was at the funeral. That's what matters. No, what matters is just that, I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to start speaking bad about me. I don't want them to think I'm a bad neighbor. I don't want them to think I'm a bad relative. And so all these reasons, all these concerns, are the reasons why we end up actually sacrificing and putting ourselves into situations where now we become hypocrites for the most part, and putting ourselves in situations where we are not in fact comforting the believer, but we are exposing them to danger health-wise and danger in many other respects. And no one is even asking questions. Now, a person today who doesn't show up at a funeral is perceived as a very bad person. Now, if that person indeed has no reasons for not going to the funeral, yes, there is justification for them to be seen that way. Because remember the passage we read in Romans 12 verse 15. Weep with those who are weeping. We are supposed to be found comforting and encouraging others. But I think if we just deduce from somebody not being at the funeral that then they don't care, without even considering other factors that we are talking about, like for example the purpose of the funeral, and also the issue of time, we might actually arrive at a wrong conclusion over somebody. And you know what happens in these funerals, when you talk about this issue of time, is that because we have made an error in one area, what happens now is that we just end up multiplying those errors now. I'll give you an example here. You have now a situation where it has become tradition, it has been, in fact, let me say, it has been tradition that whenever somebody dies, we are supposed to sleep at the funeral. Sometimes 2 days, 3 days, 4 nights, 5 nights, depending on the arrangements of that particular funeral. So because it has been tradition, now you want to find a way to make life easy for people. And what do you have at funerals now? Well, you have music concerts. Now, a funeral ends up to be a musical concert. You have now choirs that are invited, and some of these choirs, it doesn't even matter where they are coming from. They don't have to be your church people who are coming for the purpose of comfort and encouragement, to minister encouragement and strength and grace to you from God's word regarding what you are going through. There can be anybody. As long as they provide entertainment, they provide comfort so that people can manage to stay up until dawn. And this is being done in most of our funerals. And I think the annoying thing, as Pastor Cholwemwe rightly observes, is that the music so often that is played at these funerals is so loud that it is disturbing to almost the neighborhood. Very disturbing. And so you will find these choirs show up at the funeral, they have these big machines, big speakers, they have all sorts of things now. I mean, they literally go to their church and shift everything in terms of their musical equipment to the funeral house. And now you have neighbors who are not at the funeral physically being forced to be at the funeral physically because they can't sleep, because of the loud music. And this is something that is so disturbing and so discouraging. And even, what is even funny is that the people who are being disturbed, or the people who are being exposed to this kind of noise, actually would not complain. Otherwise they would be viewed as either witches or people without a heart to love. In fact, if you suggested to them, that is to these neighbors, and say, "Aren't you being disturbed?" I mean, they would be the first ones. They would, no, it's okay, they are mourning. It seems like because of the funeral, they have an excuse to disturb everyone in the community. And friends, we really need to start revisiting some of these things. We really need to start thinking through some of these things. Because the truth of the matter is that we are shifting, and we have shifted for so long from what is supposed to be the purpose for our funerals. And we are doing all kinds of things and all kinds of situations. And you find added to these choirs and their loud music are also loud preachers. Preachers who show up at these funerals, who preach on top of their voice as if God needs for them to shout in order for him to hear. And so it is commotion after commotion. Now let me just say that in situations like this, comforting of the bereaved is clearly missed. We have missed it. Because if your objective is to comfort the one who is bereaved, then you must be sensitive to their needs. You must be sensitive that they are too tired, they are distressed to endure your long flight in trying to secure God's blessing. I mean, there's just a lack of wisdom. Even in trying to minister, you find, added to the noise of the choir, added to the confusion sometimes because of those who come drunk, added to all this confusion, you have a preacher who is going to preach for an hour at the funeral and very, very insensitive to the needs of the bereaved. So friends, the point is this. The funeral's purpose is to comfort and encourage the bereaved. And because the funeral's purpose is to comfort and encourage the bereaved, we must be cautious of that, such that whatever we are doing, the context of every other practice at the funeral is there to help, to foster, to assist that objective being met. That's how it's supposed to be. We must not be blind to the fact that the people we have gone to comfort really need our help as the people who are comforting them. But what's happening today and what has been happening in funerals is something that you cannot even begin to imagine. So what do you think, friends? Yes, just a question to think about. Don't you think spending nights at funerals has really become a burden for most people to bear? And the only problem is that there is no one being honest enough to address these issues. Has it become burdensome, such that the whole focus is man-pleasing? We are just focused on pleasing people other than fulfilling the purpose for which funerals are intended. I believe what is needed is honest and courage. What is needed is sincerity. What is needed is for you and I to be honest about this and admit that something has gone wrong. And that is the first step to our solution. I do like what one of our listeners did say last time we were talking about this issue of time, one reason we are so behind as Africans, I think one reason we are behind is because we are very bad stewards of our time. This is so common in workplaces. You see it. I mean, one of the reasons companies close down, and one of the reasons businesses close down is just this issue of bad stewardship on our part. So, here is a thought for you to think about. The Bible is very clear that the night is for sleeping. Or more accurately, let's say the night is for resting. If you look at John chapter 9 again. The night is intended for you and I to rest. John 9 verse 4 reads as follows. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. The night is for resting. Now, obviously, you might have questions and say, okay, but what if I work at night? What if I am doing night shift? Well, just carry the same concept I'm talking about. You still need rest as a human being. And for you, that rest means you become a good steward of your time during the day. There are many people who sin with their bodies and they don't even realize they are sinning. You have a person who works at night and during the day they are playing instead of sleeping. Instead of sleeping so that their body can rest to be able to engage in the responsibility they have in the night. During the day they are doing all sorts of things, they are so tired. And 18 hours they are changing to go for work. And in the night they are so restless that week they are like, they are not useful in any way. That is bad stewardship of our bodies. The Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians that our bodies, if you are a Christian, are the temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And it goes on to say we were bought at a price. We are not our own. And so glorify God in your body. Our bodies belong to God. We are stewards of our bodies. The night is meant for us to be able to rest. Now let me just make a comment here, because I just discovered that probably what might have brought misunderstanding as for someone to think we are saying stop mourning, stop going to the funeral, is maybe because of not understanding every piece that we presented. Listen, the purpose for the funeral is comfort, it's encouragement. So the bereaved need that, they need encouragement. But the contention in this broadcast is this one. You don't need to spend 4 nights at the funeral to do that purpose. That's the point. In fact, I'm tempted to say, we need in Africa men and women who are going to rise up and choose to be critical thinkers for us to progress and go forward. Because most of the things that we do, we really don't think through them. We don't process them. We don't ponder through them and weigh the pros and the cons, the advantages and the disadvantages. You can encourage, you can comfort. You don't necessarily have to be at the funeral 4 nights. As a result of that, expose this widow, poor widow or widower or whoever is bereaved, to your goodness or whatever you want to call it, your love for them. You cause them to sit up with you after the night, and the following day the same, the other day the same. When the funeral is over, they have to be visiting the hospital. That is unhealthy. They're supposed to be comfortable. They're supposed to rest. They're supposed to, what is even the point of subjecting them to sleepless nights until you bury, when you are saying in your mind the whole purpose why you have gone is you want them encouraged and comforted? Is that encouraging? No, call it distressing someone. It is distressing them. Because you want to see them with Panadols and quinine after you have left. That's what it's all about. It's not encouragement of any kind. So what we are saying is you can offer this comfort. A true mourner can mourn while they are at their place. A true mourner can mourn without really having to spend a night at the funeral. A true mourner can mourn without really having to expose themselves to all these kinds of situations. Because most of the mourners at these funerals are there just to entertain themselves. And that's not the purpose of a funeral. I mean, why not visit your friend at home and go talk about politics or soccer? Why do you have to discuss those matters at the funeral? And worse off, you haven't even gotten to see the widow inside. You end up outside and you say, I went to the funeral. I would even say, don't do it next time, hypocrite. That's not mourning. So that's the point. So don't miss the point of what we are saying. What we are saying is that there's a lot of time that we waste in our way of mourning or in our way of holding these funerals. Here are some questions that I would like us to think about. Critical questions, but they need to be answered. And the first question is, does comforting the bereaved require spending many hours at their residence, even when not with them? Because for the most part, that's what happens. Does comforting mean you have to spend many hours at their residence, the residence of the bereaved? And for the most part, for what we see, even when you are not even with them, you are not even in contact with them because you are outside seated somewhere. Is that what comforting means? Is it necessary to spend nights at funeral houses? Is it necessary? And even if showing solidarity is the goal, can it not be done other ways? How productive shall those with the barest amounts of sleep be the day after such restless nights? And this is where we really need to think about this. You have people who have sleepless nights for 3 nights, 4 nights. How do you expect those people to be productive during those successive days? And so, what do you have? Situations of, boss, may I have leave? Why? I have a funeral. And you know, our culture demands when a boss hears funeral, unless he's a witch, he must grant that leave without questions. That's what our culture dictates. But is that really right? Is it all the time right? So here are my suggestions, some of my suggestions that I would like to give. I think we still need to go to funerals because Romans 12:15 says, weep with those who are weeping. But we can encourage and comfort and pray with them and leave them room to rest and leave the immediate members of that family to have room for them to sleep, so that they are not crowded with us. Someone has moved all the way from Lusaka to come to the funeral of the auntie or sister, and me, I'm just a neighbor. I leave my house there and go and take their place so that they are literally sleeping halfway because there is no room. That's not healthy, as we shall be seeing in our next broadcast. So we can leave space for the immediate family. They need to be there to sleep in the house and be with the person who is directly connected to the funeral. The immediate family can be there, and we leave them space. Let the neighbors and church people help with cooking, and if it were all possible, we can cook for them, and if we are coming from very close by, and go and eat at home, so that there are no major expenses. We'll come to resources and finances in the weeks to come, so that we can cut down on expenses. I was so encouraged when I went to Monze to officiate a wedding of a dear friend. I was just amazed at what I saw. The people who came to the funeral as families brought their own food, and they made fire, this one here, the other one there, with the food that they had come with and cooked that night, and ate supper while waiting for the celebration in the morning tomorrow of the entire wedding. That's helping. How, and we'll say more about this, but how do you expect to go to a funeral and you become a burden to the one who is bereaved? It doesn't make sense. But we have allowed it to make sense because it's our tradition. So when you are bereaved, you are actually required to go borrow money, make sure you feed the multitude. If you go to church, you are privileged, because the church is also brought into that confusion, and they bring minimum which the relatives never benefit from anyway, because they are feeding all these people from nowhere. And when the funeral is over, there is hunger at the house and the church has dismissed. It shouldn't be, friends. We need to start rethinking some of these things. So you have a church, it has a budget. Oh, we give so much for the funeral. But guess who benefits from that money? It is people, nobodies. Who have homes where they can eat. Who, if really what they wanted to help, can even bring some food at the funeral and contribute. And so the funeral has come to an end. The bag of minimum is gone. The church people have dismissed after their last song. Bye-bye, they go. They are waiting to meet you on Sunday at church. Meanwhile, you have no food. So that's what we have been saying. So one suggestion would be, let's leave the immediate members of the family. Give them room. Give them space so that they can sleep well. You probably would do well to bring your mattress and usher it in that sitting room as your contribution for them to sleep on, so that after the funeral you can pick it up. You don't necessarily have to go spend a night there. Now I know, here is where we need to begin from to undo this kind of tradition. We need to begin from the people themselves who are bereaved, understanding that we have gone too far, and releasing the people, freeing the people to make decisions that will benefit both the mourners and the bereaved. But I think it's this tendency which I don't know how it will come to an end. They won't understand. Me, I'll just go. I understand, I've been taught, Pastor Count has taught this, but the person who is bereaved will not understand. No, it should begin with the person who is bereaved. Because as you will find out as we go on with this, as we talk about money, finances, and talk about health, and all this, you'll find out that they are disadvantaged, the bereaved. They are disadvantaged greatly. So that would be one suggestion. So the point has not been stop mourning or stop holding funerals. The point has been, let's be good stewards of our time. Let's remember that God values time so much. Those days that you have scorned from work because you have to sleep at funerals, they have an effect, whether you believe me or not, they have an effect on our economy in the long run. And that's why Africa, for some part, is undeveloped. Now, there are so many reasons, but I can bet you that is just one part why we are undeveloped. Because we sometimes, because of our laziness, funerals are like, oh, I can't believe it that we have a funeral. So that you don't go for work. Are you a good steward of time? Has been the point of contention in this broadcast. Not so much as it was misunderstood that we are saying stop going to funerals. No. You need to encourage. Stop going to funerals, yes, if you are not doing the purpose of the funeral. I would even die for what I say about that. If you are not fulfilling the purpose of the funeral, there's no point in going. Don't just go register so that when you die or your son dies, people can be at your funeral. That's the wrong reason for going to a funeral. It doesn't help the nation. It doesn't help you as an individual. It doesn't help anyone. In fact, it's called hypocrisy in Christianity. Because God knows your heart. God can open you up and tell you why you are at that funeral. Right now, I believe, because of circumstances, there are funerals everywhere across the world. God is able to open you up and know why you are seated at that funeral. The one reason why you must be at the funeral is to weep with those who are weeping. And if that's the reason, then I bet you will not end up outside. You will get to see the widow. You will get to see the bereaved. You will talk to them. You will pray with them. And in some cases, you may not need to say anything. It is your presence and folding your hands with them that shows you are with them. I'm in your shoes, and may God comfort you. You can comfort without words, but you have to be there with them. You can't be outside. and say, I went to the funeral. So dear listeners, as difficult as this subject is, it needs revisiting. And it's going to begin with you and me to critically think about some of the things we do. Are they really helping us? Or are we even adding to our sins? Are we, just think of the potential for people to sin whenever a funeral has happened. You have women everywhere wearing kitenge, quickly running, going to the funeral. How many of those, if God was just to put up an overhead screen, high up in heaven, an overhead screen, and cables ran down from that screen to each one's mind, how many of those at the funeral would on the screen would it record, oh my, let me go so that they mourn me also. They will complain. They will say I'm a bad neighbor. Oh, those are wrong reasons for being at the funeral. This is why, I don't know if you have thought about this, friends. Where is the once upon a time tenderness, gentleness, kindness, sorrow that we used to genuinely know in times like this? Where has it gone? Where is the once upon a time kindness and understanding and mercy that our nurses in hospitals used to have? Where has it gone? I was at the hospital very recently, took a colleague of mine there, and the attitude of this dear nurse, God forgive her, I'm just saying, she has seen dead people for so many times that she has lost our consciousness to be sad and to worry and to be kind when someone is suffering. It is sad. And unless you and I are courageous, honest, we are going to die with our hypocrisy. But guess what? God knows our hypocrisy and we can't lie to Him. Well, dear listeners, you are listening to Biblical Christianity and this your host Francis Kaunda today. And I was just trying to address or readdress this subject of time expenditure in our funerals. And part of the reason was because I wanted to make a clarification that we have not been saying stop mourning people, stop going to the funerals. We have been saying be good stewards of time. And I hope that was a help to you. Until next Tuesday at the same time, bye-bye for now.
Thank you.